If you want to turn over with me to Philippians chapter 4, like I said, a couple more weeks and we'll be wrapping up the book of Philippians. Today we're at Philippians chapter 4, we're down to verse 4, and we're going to read 4 through 9. Probably won't get through it all, but I think all this encompasses everything together. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Let us open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word of God. We just thank you that it can come to life. We just thank you that no matter how many times we read it, no matter how many times we study it, we can learn something new. We just pray that we'll each be convicted this morning, that we'll be encouraged, that we'll be blessed, that we'll learn something from the word of God that you can teach us, Lord. We just thank you for the Apostle Paul's life and everything that he went through, and that he is our example, he is our pattern, and we can learn from him. And we pray in your precious son's name, amen. So in verse 9, he says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." Again, a couple weeks ago, we talked about him being our example or our ensample. You know, he is our example. We follow him. We learn from him. You know, this final statement here in Philippians chapter 4 is to the body of Christ. It's written directly to you. It's written directly to me. And throughout the book of Philippians, we've learned that it's about the mind of Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across to the Philippians. To know his glory, to know his suffering. And it's written directly to us. Be filled with the Spirit, have the fullness of God. And in verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." That's something easy to do. There's never any suffering that we have to deal with. There's nothing we ever... And that's why I said I think all this ties together with verse 6 mainly, but to have the peace of God, which will bring the rejoicing. When we can understand the peace of God, we can have the rejoicing. When we understand the peace of God, we can have joy in our life each and every day. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is always a part of your life. There's many times you may say, "I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why this is happening." But no matter what, he knows when you're going to die. He knows who you will marry. He knows where you'll go today, what you'll do today. God is sovereign. And when you can feel that comfort, and when you can feel that the Lord is at hand always in your life, he's a part of it. Look at Romans chapter 15, 33. Romans chapter 15, 33 says, "Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." So now we know the Lord is at hand, but he's also the God of peace. Peace of mind is something that we all want. We all want to be able to rest, to not have to worry, to feel free to enjoy life, family, friends. We want to be able to enjoy ourselves, not to be burdened down with worries that rob us of our life and purpose. But there's many times in life we can't find that peace. We don't understand what's happening, but it's not here. Whatever the situation is, whatever's going on, there's no peace in the situation. We can get depressed. We often get angry. We may lash out at God. We may lash out at our partner, our spouse. You know, our friends, mom, dad, whatever it is. How do you get this peace? Where do you start? What do you do? And it said right there in Romans 15:33, the peace of God. It starts with Him. If you look at verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. A lot of other versions have that as be anxious for nothing. I believe we all have had or have anxiety before. Maybe you still have it. Maybe you have it. Anxiety is it's almost a part of life now. They make medicine for it. Oh, if you'll take this, you can get rid of all your cares and worries and take this medicine and that medicine. Maybe we feel anxious about our finances. How am I going to pay our bills? My car is getting older. What if I lose my job? Maybe we feel anxious about our health. Maybe we feel anxious about our children. As your children get older, you wonder what they're going to do, how they're going to behave, how they're going to react. A lot of people are anxious about COVID. And if you tell somebody they have anxiety over it, they're going to say, no, I don't. I'm fine. But when you allow something to deter your life or change the way you were going to go, it's anxiety. I can't leave my house. I can't go here. I can't do that. Anxiety can come from many different things. You know, that list could go on and on. I've learned there's all kinds of different names for being scared of spiders. There's different names for being scared of heights. There's different names for being... There's anxiety for everything. And if we label it, that's when life becomes a problem. It says, be anxious for nothing. I found out this week, 85% of things we worry about don't even come true. We have a good imagination. We always imagine the worst outcome. The worst possibility, we can come up with it. 500 years ago, Michael D. Montaigne said, my life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened. There's a study that proves it. The study looked into how many of our imagined calamities never materialize. In this study, subjects were asked to write down their worries over an extended period of time and then identify which of their imagined misfortunes did not actually happen. Lo and behold, it turns out that 85% of what the subjects worried about never happened. And with the 15% that did happen, 79% of subjects discovered either they could handle the difficulty better than they expected, or the difficulty taught them a lesson worth learning. This means that 97% of what you worry over is not much more than a fearful mind punishing you with exaggerations and misperceptions. We allow our mind to run wild. We allow our mind to control our life. What if I ran around every day wondering, you know, maybe I imagine myself winning the lottery every day. You know, live your life like you won the lottery. That's about as crazy as our other, you know, imaginations, what we imagine. What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to work today? What's going to happen if, you know, we come up with the absurd things. And my wife calls me 5 minutes late, I think she's dead in a ditch. Why do we think that? Because of anxiety and the control that we have. But in John 14:27, Jesus promised, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. We can have peace. This is what He wants to give us. He spoke those comforting words on the most difficult night of His life. The night He was going to be crucified, He was able to say, I have peace. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. And we go through nothing like the Apostle Paul or the Lord Jesus Christ. And we think our life is horrible. He goes on in verse 6, be careful for nothing or be anxious for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. A lot of people take this and they see prayer and request. Let's just throw everything else out and say, okay, I'm going to pray and I'm going to request what I want. I can request anything I want. You know, that anxiety can come from us thinking we're not good enough for the Lord. I didn't do enough for him this week. I failed again. I sinned 7 times this week. I looked again. I did this. I did that. But that's just Satan messing with us. That is in a form of anxiety, and we've got to rid of that. You know, Sonny and I coached some middle school volleyball teams. I don't know how we got into the middle of that, but we're coaching these girls. And this is a form of words now. We're going through the Bankhead Tunnel over there. Oh, I can't do this. I have anxiety. I can't go through this tunnel. Well, if you tell yourself you can't go through this tunnel and you tell yourself you have anxiety, you are creating the form of anxiety. And the more we focus on that, it messes us up. Be anxious for nothing. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made it clear that anxiety stems from a lack of faith and from a wrong focus on things of this world instead of on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, here it says, be careful for nothing. And you may say, well, Nathan's just saying I can go out and do whatever I want and live a carefree life. If you'll look over with me to Titus 3:8, there's a balance here, and it's not an easy balance, but there's a balance here that we need to live. In Titus 3:8, it says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So again, one sense it says, be careful for nothing, but be careful unto good works. You know, our Christian witness to a lost world is this theme in Philippians. He wants Christians to have God's joy in every situation. Not just so that they will be happy people, but so they will be effective witnesses of Jesus Christ. In other words, we need to be seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, not our own happiness. You know, if an unbeliever sees you as a weighed down, unhappy, anxiety ridden, why would they want something like that? We have the peace of God here. We have the truth here. We have the Word of God. We have it rightly divided. We understand it. We can teach that to others. But if an unbeliever sees you in all this anxiety and all this worry and all this stress and I can't do anything right, well, you're living for this world. How can you share the gospel? How can you tell others? And if you're anxious, try prayer. If you're anxious, examine either your lack of faith in the living God who has promised to supply the basic needs of his children. Like I said, the Apostle Paul is not encouraging a careless, carefree, irresponsible attitude towards people, to people or problems. We need to have a care for them. Christians should care deeply about people and their problems and should work hard to resolve problems. We must practice prayer with thankfulness about every concern. You know, here he mentions 4 things. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So he has 3 things here: prayer, thankfulness, your request, and supplication. We're going to look at prayer first. And you knew, as a kid, I used to think, okay, you got to fold your hands, you got to close your eyes, you got to take a minute and say, dear Lord. But in the Word of God, he says, pray without ceasing. And I look at prayer totally different today. Prayer is an ongoing thing. It's daily and it's always. Pray without ceasing. And I get up every morning And I pray by writing. When you can begin to pray and write things out. You know, basically prayer is a reverence. When he says make requests made known to God, the Greek word means face to face with God. Whether you're driving down the street, whether you're at home, whether you're writing it out, whether you're just thinking it in your head, that is prayer. God invites us to draw near with confidence to the throne of God, to his grace, to receive his mercy and grace and a help of time of need. Again, the believer is told to come directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to go through anybody else, but we are to go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even in Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit who dwells in every believer prompts and moves us as we pray. There's times in life that we don't know what to pray, we don't know what to say, we don't know what to do, we don't understand why life is going this way. Take a moment and just close your eyes and just let the Holy Spirit lead and guide. But he tells us to pray. But in everything by prayer and supplication. That word supplication, this word gives prominence to the sense of need and looks at specific requests. Some people ask, why pray? God already knows what we need. He knows the outcome. He knows what's going to happen. John Calvin has some of the most profound and practical words on prayer. He points out that whatever we need and lack is to be found in God and our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the Father willed all the fullness of his bounty to abide. It is through prayer that we reach those riches which are laid up for us with the Heavenly Father. He points out that whatever we need and lack is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not for God's sake. It's for ours. Prayer is for us. Prayer is to have that relationship. It prepares us. It shows us our faithfulness. You know, our supplication must be in line with God's will and purpose. If it's not, the Lord's not going to grant it for us. One of my favorite parts of this verse, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Having a thankful heart will change your entire life. You can't be anxious and thankful at the same time. It doesn't work together. They're total opposites. When you're anxious, presumably you're in a situation that gives some cause for anxiety. At such times, thankfulness is not automatic or spontaneous. You have to do it deliberately by faith. Sonny and I get up every morning and we write down 10 things that we're thankful for. We write things that we're, again, it changes your day, it changes your attitude, it changes your life. You can see the good. Even in the worst situation that you're in, there's plenty to find that you can be thankful for. Whether you go back to the Word of God, if you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You're already seated in the heavenlies. You have the spiritual blessings. This is a very short time on earth. There's so many things to be thankful for, even if you can't find things in your life. But if you're alive, you can be thankful. If you're walking, you can be thankful. During Hurricane Sally, I was thankful for power. I was thankful for internet. I was thankful for, you know, when you lose that stuff, that's when you begin to realize what you can be thankful for. With thanksgiving, we can have a remembrance of God's supply in the past. If we're all here today, we've all been through a hard time. We've all been through a struggle. We've all had something that didn't go our way. But we can see that God brought us through that time. He got us through it. You can look back over his faithfulness and realize that his mercies have sustained you. He has been with you through every trial. He never abandons you. You can also see his submission to God's sovereignty in the present. To thank God in the midst of a crisis or trial is to say, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't know your plan. I don't like it. But I submit to your sovereign purpose in the situation. You're going through that for a reason. My wife went through anxiety for about 4 years after we had, was it Trey? She went through anxiety literally, you know. I never realized anxiety. I never really understood it. I don't really struggle with it. But she was scared to get sick. She was scared this was going to happen. She thought, you know, whatever she could make up in her head, it would. She thought it. And that anxiety rode her so much. But when she went through that 4 years of anxiety, 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 and she was able to overcome it, she can now change the life of others. We may not understand why we're going through things. We may never understand why we went through certain things. But there's a reason for it. And when we can say, yes, Lord, this is your plan. I submit to your sovereign plan. You have chosen this path for my life. You have chosen this situation. You can learn from it a lot easier than fighting him through the whole entire thing. You can learn from it. You can see from it. And in Romans, it says all things work together for good to those that love him. It's not some things. It's not when I feel like it. It's all things work together. Yes, it may not be what we want. We may not have what we see. But all things work together for good to those that love him. And when we can understand those first two, then we can trust in God's sufficiency for the future. A thankful heart rests upon the all-sufficient God, knowing that even though we don't see how he is going to do it, he will meet our every need. When we can say, yes, this is your sovereign plan, we can trust him for the future. And then lastly in that verse, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. This word overlaps with supplication, emphasizing the specific, definite nature of our petitions to the Lord. Sometimes we fail to ask because something seems too trivial or maybe too small to trouble God about. But if it's big enough to make me anxious, it's certainly big enough to ask God about. You know, a woman once asked the British Bible teacher, Campbell Morgan, do you think we should pray about the little things in our lives or just the big things? He retorted, madam, can you think of anything in your life that is big to God? Whenever you're anxious, whatever you're going through in life, in reverent, humble, specific, thankful prayer, we are promised God's incomparable peace when we pray, the peace of God that passes all understanding. What Paul is talking about is the peace that comes from God, who is never the subject of anxiety. He is the sovereign, omnipotent creator and the Lord of the universe. Nothing can take the Lord by surprise. Nothing can rattle his cage. He doesn't wonder how something's going to turn out. He's not concerned with the election coming up. Whatever it is that your anxiety, your anxiousness, your says be careful for nothing. Those are the things that we're supposed to get rid of. Be careful unto good works. You know, in Ephesians 3:20, one of my favorite verses in the Word of God, Ephesians 3:20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We've all have an imagination. We're all capable of thinking of the worst possible outcome possible. But if we take Ephesians 3:20 and say, the Lord can do abundantly above all that I can even ask or I can even think. My imagination can't be big enough for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever that is, you can have. We can have God's peace. He goes on in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, if you're struggling with something today, start with prayer. Start with some time with the Lord. If you're still struggling with it, add thankfulness. I think you need to add thankfulness to it every day. When we begin to see all the Lord has brought us through, it's like, hey, I lived through that, I can live through this. Oh, I made it through that time, I can make it through this time. We can be thankful in the situation we're in. And we become when we have a thankful heart, and when we have nothing to worry about, we can let our requests be made known unto God, because it's a part of His will and His desire. We can have the peace of God in our life each and every day. Do you know God's peace in the midst of the situation that you're in today? I think each and every one of us are anxious for something. COVID, the election, the hurricane. Maybe it's something in your family or in your life, or where do I send my kids to school, or whatever it is, we can have the peace of God. And it's through prayer and a thankful heart. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the Apostle Paul and how he said, everything that You see in me, do. And I just pray that my life can project that. My life, that I am careful for nothing. But through prayer and supplication with a thankful heart, I can show others that You have a plan for my life, whatever it is. There's times that life doesn't go my way, but I can still have the peace of God that passes all understanding. I just pray that You'll pass that peace upon each and every one that is here this morning, and that everybody that listens to this message. And we pray in Your precious Son's name. Amen.